Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Just Like That by Aaron Nicholas, narrated by Karen White. Chapter 1.
Not even one?
No.
Ever.
Ever.
Are you sure?
Danica sighed. You don't think I would know if I'd had an orgasm? Even one? Ever? The two men sitting at the next table glanced in her direction, and she realized she'd let the volume of her voice rise. She quickly lifted her glass, refusing to make eye contact. Only her sisters would consider this conversation acceptable in a public place. Abby had been back in town for 3 days, which meant Abby and Carmen had been talking about Danica, what was wrong with her life, and how to fix it for 48 hours, give or take. They were both blissfully head over heels in love with their husbands and felt it was inexcusable that Danica didn't have a wedding anniversary to celebrate, too. Having Abby in Denver for the past year had been a bit of a relief. Not that their three-way conference calls didn't often center around the current man in Danica's life and his inevitable shortcomings. Abby's resolve and enthusiasm and outrageousness were forces to be reckoned with even long distance. Her sisters together, in any format, texts, email, phone calls, were impossible to ignore. Together in person? Danica didn't have a chance.
You're not a virgin, are you?
Abby demanded. Danica rolled her eyes.
No,
not that it's any of your business. Or the business of the two men sitting close enough to be unable to miss the conversation. She wasn't a virgin, though she doubted Abby or Carmen would be impressed with her description of her two, count 'em, two, sexual encounters.
Then how is it possible she hasn't had an orgasm?
Abby asked Carmen, as if it was all Carmen's fault.
Look at the guys she dates, Carmen said.
True.
Abby glanced at Danica. Danica drank and pretended to not know what they were talking about. They were supposed to be celebrating her new job and Abby's return to Omaha after being transferred with her husband's company 4 times in 5 years. Now, Luke owned his own business, so no more moving. Abby would be here, right here, with Carmen, in person, all the time. It was going to be great.
Maybe you're doing something wrong, Abby said.
Well, we put everything where it's supposed to go. Danica said dryly. What exactly could I be doing wrong? Abby looked to Carmen for help.
Maybe you didn't.
Give it enough time, Carmen offered. Danica looked from one to the other.
Enough time? Or maybe you should have lit some candles.
Abby didn't even look convinced herself.
Candles, right.
Why hadn't she thought of buying those magic orgasm-inducing candles?
Do you want to know what I think?
Carmen asked. No, but she was going to soon enough, she was sure.
She needs all the help she can get, Abby said.
Wow, nothing like being a sexual charity case. I think if she's going to keep picking the guys she picks, then it's up to her to make sure she's having orgasms. Danica didn't know what to do with that statement, or how to fake that she wasn't interested. So she took another drink of strawberry and tequila.
Go on,
Abby said, leaning her chin on her hand and giving Carmen her full attention. I was incredibly attracted to Ryan when I met him, Carmen said. But in the beginning, I had to let him know what I liked, and we played around a little.
Really?
Abby seemed fascinated.
He wasn't offended?
Carmen laughed. No. He wanted me to have orgasms, so he was all for learning how to do it.
Luke and I never had any trouble, Abby said thoughtfully. I don't think I want to know how he got so good at it.
You've never even had to hint? Carmen asked, clearly impressed. Abby shook her head, grinning and looking smug.
Nope.
Danica supposed that women who were having regular orgasms could be smug and grin a lot. And just generally like life a lot. But grinning was overrated. Good for you, Carmen said, sincerely.
Of course I knew that Ryan would be amazing with practice. Danica watched her sisters grin at one another and rolled her eyes. How did you know? Danica asked. The heat, you know, the chemistry. The fact that from the first moment I met him, I wanted to get him naked. I thought you met him at the Olive Garden, Danica grumbled. No one fell in love or lust at the Olive Garden, except maybe with the chicken parmesan. I did. I was waiting on him and his parents, and all I could think about was his mouth and how much I wanted to kiss him, even with his mom sitting right there. Abby nodded her head emphatically. I wanted to rip Luke's clothes off the minute I met him, too. In fact, I slept with him on the first date. The look on Carmen's face was surely an exact replica of Danica's. I didn't know that. It's not like I was proud of it, Abby said. Then she grinned. Well, I was. I thought he was out of my league, but I went for it anyway, and it paid off. Big time. She and Carmen snickered at that. Danica took another drink. Carmen turned to Danny. Honey, the orgasm thing can work out. Where there is chemistry, there is potential. Danica pushed an ice cube around her glass with a finger, wishing they could talk about anything else. Maybe she needs some official help, Abby said, looking at Danica again. Danica raised an eyebrow. This did not sound good. Like a sex therapist? Carmen asked. That's not an overreaction at all, Danica muttered. It wasn't like she didn't know why she wasn't having orgasms. She didn't want to. Well, that wasn't entirely accurate. Part of her wanted to, of course, but she just couldn't let herself go. She held back, on purpose, and intended to keep doing so. Like a vibrator, Abby said. Danica choked on the sip of margarita she'd unfortunately just taken. You don't already have one? Carmen asked her with wide eyes. Before she could answer, Abby said, If she does, she needs a new one since that one is apparently not working. Are you using it with the guy? Carmen asked. Because only one-third of women have orgasms with vaginal stimulation. Most need clitoral stimulation. Danica couldn't help it. She looked over at the two men at the table next to them. One was facing her and making absolutely no effort to pretend he wasn't listening, or grinning about the crazy conversation. The other's back was to her, but he was closer and could hear everything clearly. The one she could see was very good-looking and very amused. In fact, it seemed they had completely given up talking to one another. Probably easier to hear Carmen and Abby. Not that her sisters were trying to keep their voices down. Carmen, she said through gritted teeth, if you ever say the word clitoral to me in public again, you'll never get another Christmas present as long as I live. She tried to drink again, but somehow her glass was empty. She waved to the waitress. Judging by the conversation to this point, she was definitely going to need a refill. She should just pay her bill and leave. But nothing was that easy with her sisters. She needs a man who she can experiment with so she can figure out what she likes, Carmen said resolutely. Clearly the ones she's been with have been duds. Danica frowned at that. They have not been duds. They'd all been nice, sweet guys. Unassuming, undemanding, lots of things. Just the way she liked them. Maybe not duds, Abby said gently, but they're vanilla cupcakes. What? Maybe it was the tequila. The conversation just kept getting crazier. You love fudge brownies, Abby said, but you're dating vanilla cupcakes. They're not bad, but you don't crave cupcakes. Carmen's grin was huge and Danica groaned. That's a perfect analogy, Danny, she said. You've got to find a fudge brownie. The thing was, it was a good analogy. It was scary how close her sisters had just come to the truth. It wasn't like she was picking cupcakes on accident. She knew her weakness was fudge brownies, and therefore trouble. A great brownie could make her throw all her discipline away,
Forget her goals and plans, even a not-so-great brownie, because, after all, even a bad brownie was still a brownie, could make her lose control, decide the pleasure was worth the consequences. So I'm supposed to only date men who make me think of food? Abby grinned. Men who make you think about indulgence and devouring and licking all over. Exactly, Carmen said, her eyes twinkling. It's like your life is a bakery and you have everything to choose from. But you go for the vanilla cupcakes, even though you could have a brownie and that's what you'd really like and what would completely satisfy you. Her life was a bakery. Terrific. I like cupcakes. Danica knew she sounded grumpy, but she was feeling grumpy and judged. She hated when her sisters were right. Her boyfriends were no more exciting than cupcakes. They were good, just not worth fitting into her favorite jeans for. Cupcakes are fine, Carmen agreed, and for some people that's it. Their favorite thing, the thing they go crazy for. But not for you. You have to find a fudge brownie, Abby agreed. A big one. No pun intended, Carmen giggled. Luke's a fudge brownie? Danica asked Carmen, attempting to show her how stupid that sounded. Oh, no. He's a great big slice of cheesecake. Carmen winked at her. Brownies to me are like cupcakes to you. But cheesecake? That's what I want. Danica thought about Travis and Rob and Paul. Vanilla cupcakes for sure. Travis had been a vanilla cupcake with sprinkles, at least, but he hadn't even come close to brownie status. He was a good guy, a sweet guy, undemanding, which had made it easy to break up with him. The conversation had gone something like, Travis, you're a sweet guy, but I just don't feel like this relationship is going anywhere. Oh, that's too bad. But we'll still be friends, right? Sure. Okay. Take care. He hadn't even argued with her, ever, about anything, which was why she'd dated him, and ultimately why she'd broken up with him. There was no emotion, no spark, not a smear of fudge frosting in sight. It made Travis, and every other guy she'd dated, safe, but expendable. She knew it was dysfunctional, but she didn't care. I'm fine, she told her sisters. I'll get a new vibrator and a real brownie, maybe two, and I'll be fine. And you're going to keep dating cupcakes? Carmen asked. It was very likely. I'm not dating anyone right now. That's not good either, Abby said. I mean, I'm a fan of vibrators, but all the toys are more fun if you have someone to play with. Maybe I should just have a one-night stand, Danica said, hoping to show her sisters how nuts all of this sounded. Maybe you should, Abby said, obviously considering it. You've got to be kidding. You wouldn't have to worry about finding a reason to break up with him, Carmen said. What do you mean? But she was afraid she knew. You broke up with Rob because he rearranged your living room. Right. He hadn't even asked. He did it because he bought you a new couch. One that you definitely liked and wanted. It was my living room. She didn't like surprises. Never had, even as a kid. Their mom's illness had been enough of a surprise, and the unpredictable course of the disease had made Danica conscious of the importance of planning and making decisions and having expectations. You broke up with Travis because of his work shifts. He worked every night. Travis was a detective on the police force and was often gone all night, sometimes without a break for days if he was on a case. You knew that the minute you met him, Carmen pointed out. So, Carmen repeated in the same tone. I think you make up reasons to break up with the guys you date. She shrugged without answering. Carmen wasn't entirely right or wrong. Danica didn't make the reasons up. The reasons were there and real. What her sisters didn't know was that she was aware of those reasons and that she was going to use them to end the relationship nearly from the beginning.
The thing Abby and Carmen would never understand was that she honestly didn't want heat and chemistry. It was so much easier without all of that. Her relationships weren't exciting or spontaneous or wild or a multitude of other words, like messy or painful or desperate. She'd never felt desperate about a guy. To kiss him or be with him or see him, she'd never needed a guy. Very intentionally. It kept things from being, well, messy and painful. She rather suspected none of the guys she'd dated needed her either, though. They'd had some laughs, enjoyed a few conversations, seen some terrific movies. They'd even had a few nice kisses, and two sexual encounters that had been good, if not spectacular. Then they'd parted ways without any heartbreak, major emotional upheaval, or desperation. "You were attracted to him, though," Carmen clarified. Danica shrugged again. "I guess." She'd found him handsome. He was a good dresser. "Were you hot for him?" Abby asked. "Did you want to tear his clothes off? Could you not wait until you were alone? Did you sit across the table from him at dinner and think about taking the sugar packets and shaking them out all over his body and then licking it off?" Carmen and Danica stared at her. Abby looked from one to the other. "What?" she asked. "Luke is a lucky guy," Carmen finally said. Danica had to chuckle. "No, I never thought about covering him in anything. Or licking him." She heard one of the men choking at the next table. She resisted looking in that direction. "I think you're doing it backward," Abby told her. "I'm doing what backward?" Danica felt the need to clarify, especially with Abby. It was never safe to assume that Abby was talking about anything conventional.
"Finding a relationship."
"Backward how?" Danny wasn't sure why she kept asking questions. Not that her sisters needed her participation to keep the conversation going, but they might mistake the questions as encouragement.
"Most people have a physical attraction first. Then they get to know each other and put the two together to find out if they're compatible. You're doing it backward."
"Because I'm choosing to date men that I want to talk to versus men that I want to lick?" Danica clarified.
"Yes."
Abby looked very pleased that Danica was understanding.
"Are you kidding?"
"No.
So I should just go to bed with the first fudge brownie I see and then hope that he can actually string words together into a sentence?"
"Right.
Isn't that the opposite of the advice a normal, sane person would give to someone?" Danica asked.
"You need an orgasm, not political opinions or the history of the mining of Tanzanite. What if the guy can't even spell Tanzanite? If he can help you find your G-spot, who the hell cares?" Abby asked. "Once you figure out what does it for you, then you can teach the guy who stimulates your mind how to stimulate your Abby,"
Danica interrupted. There was a snort of laughter from the next table. Ignoring it, kind of, Danica asked,
"You want me to pick up a random stranger?"
"You might have to get some new clothes first," Carmen said.
"What's wrong with my clothes?"
"You dress like a kindergarten teacher," Abby inserted.
"I do?"
"And no guy thinks of kindergarten teachers as sexy," Carmen said.
"Unless you turn it into a fantasy, role-playing, sexy teacher, naughty student thing," Abby piped up. "Sometimes Luke and I..."
"Stop!" Danica held up a hand. "The last thing I need in my head is the idea of you and Luke in costume having sex." The men at the next table laughed out loud at that.
"Learning to have orgasms with you would be like learning to play chopsticks with Beethoven. She couldn't find a man with more expertise."
Ben Torres was grinning widely at his best friend and brother-in-law.
"Thank you very much."
Sam Bradford raised his beer bottle in salute. He drank, then set the bottle on the table. He should have turned the conversation to his sister's upcoming surprise birthday party, or sports, or weather, or anything else.
but he couldn't take his attention away from the woman behind him. "You think I should offer to coach her?" he asked, trying to act cavalier. "Definitely. A chance to put your gift to good use." "The women I date feel like I put my gift to very good use all the time." Ben took a swig of beer. "Please don't take my suggestion as an indication that I doubt how satisfied your ladies are." Sam was sure all of this would be recounted to the rest of their buddies for Ben's amusement, probably more than once. Messing with Sam was one of his friends' favorite pastimes, and vice versa. "Why don't you help her out? You know about women and orgasms, supposedly. Why don't you give her some pointers?" Ben nodded, unfazed. "Yes, but I happen to be giving out enough orgasms to keep me nice and busy and tired." "You're talking about my sister," Sam pointed out. Ben grinned. "Yep. That should probably bug me." "Probably. But she does smile a lot more since you got together." "For good reason," Sam chuckled. "And since you made her an honest woman by marrying her, I guess I can't get too upset." "Thanks," Ben said dryly. "I was worried about you defending her honor." Sam sat back in his chair, crossing an ankle over his opposite knee. The position put him closer to the women's table. The bar wasn't too crowded yet. It was early, so it wasn't hard to hear two of the three. But the one with the orgasm problem was the softer spoken, or the more aware of the strangers surrounding them in this public place. Right across the street from the St. Anthony's emergency room entrance, Trudy's Tavern was a popular hangout for the hospital staff, and Sam knew that it was not a coincidence that Carmen, second in command over the ER nursing staff, had chosen this location to have drinks with her sisters. If she wanted to set her sister up with a fling, which seemed more than obvious, what better place to find young, single, willing men that wouldn't be total strangers? Carmen knew everyone who came to this bar and could get references, bank account info, and probably birth certificates if she wanted to. Carmen was a beautiful woman. She was also bright, funny, and sexy. She was married, so he'd, obviously, never tried to take her home. But that didn't stop him from flirting. Very little stopped Sam from flirting. So he couldn't help but be interested in meeting her sister. Her apparently single, sexually frustrated sister. Sam's back was to the women's table, and he really wanted to take a look. Then again, there was something very intriguing about just overhearing the conversation. He wasn't particular. Breast size, hair color, and shape were all secondary concerns. But she did need to be three things: confident, into him, at least for the time being, and comfortable with her sexuality. This woman didn't sound like she was, or would be, any of those things. Still, he couldn't help thinking, "Give me an hour, honey, and I'll take care of your problem." Even if she dressed like a kindergarten teacher. His kindergarten teacher had been older than dirt and hadn't liked him. Of course, it had taken him years to know what recalcitrant meant, but even as a 5-year-old, he'd known she hadn't meant it as a compliment. But his competitive streak had him thinking that it would be pretty sweet to succeed where others had been failing. The women he usually spent time with were very sexual, uninhibited, and, if he was honest, not much of a challenge when it came to talking them into bed. Yeah, he was good, but it wasn't like he made a habit of picking women he wasn't sure of. "So you're not going to do it?" Sam said to Ben. "I love your sister. My life is more fun. My hope for you as my best friend is that someday you'll understand why I say no way to that statement." Spoken like a happily married man. Sam knew that Ben and Jessica were one of those rare, meant-to-be couples. He also knew that he'd never even come close, so couldn't argue. Yet, being able to go to this woman and talk to her about orgasms Seems like a very nice alternative to marital bliss. Sounds like all she needs is confidence. Maybe she's just too self-conscious to be able to relax enough to get into it and enjoy. She probably just needs some sexy underwear. Ben looked at him for a long moment. Sexy underwear. That's the key to all of it. Maybe some toys, Sam said with a wink. Ben leaned to the left, withdrew his wallet, and handed Sam a $100 bill. You talk her into going shopping with you, and I'm buying. Is this a dare? Sam couldn't help but be interested. He hadn't had anything exciting happen for a long time, and what red-blooded male passed up the chance to buy sexy lingerie for an appreciative female? He tucked the bill into his front pocket, tossed back the rest of his beer, and pushed back from the table. Ben watched with an eyebrow up and a grin. See you later, Ben said. Not if I'm even half as good as I think I am. Sam headed for the bar for two more beers. He used it as an excuse to check out the situation at Carmen's table. The woman in the middle was the first one his gaze settled on, and he felt like he'd just downed a pot of coffee, two energy drinks, and five candy bars. His body literally hummed, and he couldn't relax his chest enough to even take a deep breath. Lord have mercy. Every cell in his body was tense and felt like it was vibrating. His mind was completely blank except for one word. Sex. It was the most bizarre thing to ever happen to him. He never reacted like that to women. Sure, there was lust, there was heat and want and attraction, but this was inexplicable. She wasn't even the most beautiful at the table. Carmen, by far, was the sexiest. She wore a fitted top with sparkling threads woven through that caught the light and drew attention when she moved. Her dark blonde hair was up in a sexy twist, and her lips were a bright crimson, just begging to be noticed. The one who had been sitting closest to him, Abby, was very beautiful as well, but had a more sophisticated look. She was also dressed for a night out in a black dress with spaghetti straps and plenty of cleavage, and her straight blonde hair was down, sexy, and loose. But their sister was the one Sam couldn't look away from. Her hair was a soft strawberry blonde, and it fell in waves to touch her shoulders. She didn't wear a lipstick. The coral color of her lips didn't need enhancing. She was too far away for him to see the color of her eyes, but just then she rose, presumably to go to the ladies' room, and he realized that seeing this woman in lingerie was going to be one of the great pleasures of his life, and he was suddenly very sure that he was going to do exactly that. Prude or not, co-worker's sister or not, he was going to give this woman an orgasm. Not because of her body, the shape of which he could only describe as nice, considering nothing she wore was fitted or revealing in any way, but because she was indeed dressed like a kindergarten teacher. She wore a simple cotton sleeveless dress that buttoned up the front from the V-neck to the hem and ended with a flare right at her knees. The best part was that it was completely modest and conservative and virginal white. Those things, combined with the conversation he'd overheard, was enough to make him want to see her in a leopard print thong and bustier. If nothing else, because he doubted that she'd ever been seen in one before. Then he wanted to get her naked. She'd apparently been seen that way before, but she hadn't been appreciated that way before. If she had been, she wouldn't have been talking about not having orgasms. He figured this rush of excitement and anticipation was how the great explorers had felt. Undiscovered territory, the first to stake a claim and all that. He took Ben's beer back to him, then headed toward the doorway that led to the restrooms. He was going to talk to her, but decided he didn't want an audience. But on his way past Carmen's table, he kicked a chair out and slid into it. He turned to Carmen. Are you kidding me? What? she asked innocently. You brought your sister to our bar to set her up with a one-night stand. No better place? She had a point there.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?